Gentlemen Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence with Prince, Don Nikoloff.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. My name is Don Nikoloff, and I'm going to be with you for the next hour. And tonight, we're going to explore some genealogical anomalies, among other things. Bit of news to report on this April Fool's Day. I guess this day is really designed for the government. And they like to use this day as a magical day for surprising us. And boy, they laid a heavy one on us actually on the 31st. And it's still the 31st on the West Coast. I must point that out. The Supreme Court struck down the writ that Rick Stanley filed to have his case heard before the Supreme Court and possibly have it appealed and reversed. Evidently, fascism now has turned to full-blown communism. Dare I say that? I'm going to invite the listeners to call into the show tonight. I want to open up a discussion about not just that issue, but the whole issue of the phony identities of the folks that I've been calling the Three Stooges over the past week. And I don't mean to defame the actors of Universal Studios fame, Curly, Larry, and Moe, but the new ones, McManiac and Billary, and someone called the third candidate, Osama, last week. I thought it was pretty funny. It kind of just slipped out. I think it was Len Horowitz on the Mission Possible show Sunday night. Now, and he was probably right, because these people are pure fiction. I want to give the numbers out. We'll start with Station 1. If you'd like to call in and make a comment about the show or get involved in this discussion, I welcome your comments. The number is area code 877-876-5227. That's in the USA only, toll-free. In the USA and Canada, 888-815-9756. And the direct line, area code 530-876-3222. I welcome your calls. Oh, let's start off with a little piece that I'm actually working on. It's going to be a big piece, and it has to do with my genealogical research on John McCain and Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama. And I am writing the piece as we speak, not at this very moment, but it's in progress. I've done quite a bit of research, and I'm convinced that that these people are not who they claim to be. Much like my prior research on the Bush family, which you can read by going to directlightproductions.com and clicking on articles, you will see a two-part article that begins with the words, Deathbed Confessions. And, of course, there's more to the title than that. It begins with that, and that's an easy way to find it. Start with part one, then read part two. Now, it's a heavy read, and I don't suggest you read it right now. But it's important that you understand who these people are. Just for the sake of knowing why everything is the way it is in this country right now. These people are not Americans. They're masquerading as Americans, and everybody's brainwashed into thinking that this is, baseball, mom, and apple pie. And it has nothing to do with us. It has to do with their New World Order. It has to do with their intention to bring this country to its knees. How much longer is it going to take for people to wake up? Now, this is not about fear-mongering. This is about heavy research that exposes the truth about these people. And I knew that if I went down the rabbit hole and investigated McCain's background, Clinton's background, and Obama's background that I would find many anomalies. And I would like to preface my comments briefly so we can lighten the mood a little bit while you get your fingers exercised, loosened up, and start to dial your phone. I'm going to play a little musical piece that describes who these people are.
Ago when I was 23, I was married to a widow who was pretty as could be. This widow had a grown-up daughter who had hair of red. My father fell in love with her, and soon they two were wed. This made my dad my son-in-law and changed my very life. For my daughter was my mother, 'cause she was my father's wife. To complicate the matter, even though it brought me joy, I soon became the father of a bouncing baby boy. My little baby then became a brother-in-law to Dad, and so became my uncle, though it made me very sad. For if he was my uncle, then that also made him brother to the widow's grown-up daughter, who of course was my stepmother. I'm my own grandpa. I'm my own grandpa. It sounds funny, I know, but it really is so. Oh, I'm my own grandpa. My father's wife then had a son who kept him on the run, and he became my grandchild 'cause he was my daughter's son. My wife is now my mother's mother, and it makes me blue, because although she is my wife, she's my grandmother too. If my wife is my grandmother, then I am her grandchild, and every time I think of it, it nearly drives me wild.
This has got to be the strangest thing I ever saw.
As husband of my grandmother, I am my own grandpa. I'm my own grandpa. Everybody! I'm my own grandpa. It's so funny, I know, but it really is so. Hey! I'm my own grandpa.
Okay, I'm my own grandpa. Crazy, crazy song. That is the original recording, and it was made by two wonderful novelty songwriters, Dwight Latham and Mo Jaffe. And, of course, the song is I'm My Own Grandpa. In other words, you can interbreed in your family to the point to where, technically, you can become your own grandfather. And that's exactly what these people do when they infiltrate our country. They use aliases. Now, they may not do it exactly like it's described in this song, but they come awful darn close. And I have to say that there is an article written by James Pliant, and I would like to quote some of this to give you a little bit of an idea about the history behind this song. Dwight Latham and Mo Jaffe's novelty song, I'm My Own Grandpa, tells the tale of a man who through a series of complicated marriages became his own step-grandfather. Latham found inspiration for the song from a book of Mark Twain's anecdotes, which included a scenario of how a man could become his own grandpa. Guy Lombardo is incorrectly credited with writing another version that became a hit in 1948. Lombardo simply made a recording of the Latham and Jaffe tune, says Mo Jaffe's daughter, Ann Jaffe Pace. He didn't write any new version. The original spelling of the song title was I'm My Own Grandpa, Miss Pace tells me. Long before it became a famous song, I'm My Own Grandpa had popularity as an oft-repeated story. For more than 100 years, newspapers across the U.S. published stories about men who claimed to be their own grandfather. Though different names, locales, and years are given, all have the same sequence of events. A young man marries a woman with a daughter, who then marries the man's father, and the two men have sons by their new wives. Christopher Dunham discovered the tale in 1822. By the way, I don't think that's related to Stanley and Dunham, Osama, Barack Obama's mother, or so-called mother. Anyway, American newspaper republished from the London Literary Gazette. Hood's magazine reprinted the article, which found its way to a Gettysburg newspaper in 1948. Oh, wait, let's go back. 1848, 100 years prior to that. A proof that a man can be his own grandfather. There was a widow and her daughter-in-law, a man and her daughter-in-law, and man and his son. The widow married the son and the daughter the old gentleman. The widow was therefore mother to her husband's father and consequently grandmother to her own husband. They had a son to which she was a great-grandmother. Now, as the son of a great-grandmother must be either a grandfather or great-uncle, this boy was one or the other. He was his own grandfather. This was the case with the boy at school, and this was at Norwich, and it was found in Hood's magazine. Nearly 30 years later, a New England newspaper reported under the heading, A Man, His Own Grandfather, that a man at Titusville, Pennsylvania, recently committed suicide in his home at finding that he was his own grandfather. I could think of lots of other reasons to commit suicide. That would not be one. The way it was thus told in his dying statement, I married a widow who had a grown-up daughter. My father visited our house very often, fell in love with my stepdaughter, and married her. So my father became my son-in-law and my stepdaughter my mother because she was my father's wife. Sometime afterward, my wife had a son. He was my father's brother-in-law and my uncle, for he was the brother of my stepmother, my father's wife. And, for example, my stepmother had also a son. He was, of course, my brother, and in the meantime, my grandchild, for he was the son of my daughter. My wife was my grandmother because she was my mother's mother. I was my wife's husband and grandchild at the same time, and as the husband of a person's grandmother is his grandfather, I am my own grandfather. Now, the Titusville suicide victim who became his own grandfather was identified in 1893 as William Harmon. We could go on a bit more with this story, but I want to save some time for the actual central topic. And we might listen to this song one more time in a couple of minutes just to have a break and really contemplate this, because hearing it in music, it really paints a picture for you. This is what these people are doing who are running our government, believe it or not. And there is substantial information to show that, number one, and I'm exaggerating a bit, but in a sense, this is what they do. They find a family here in the United States, and they have overseas, they have spies, they have networks of intelligence agencies that work closely with dictators, representing their countries as their leaders, presidents, prime ministers, dictators in charge, whatever you want to call them. And through the military-industrial complex, through the shipping companies, and shipping companies were the major way that they snuck these people into our country, particularly the Hamburg America Lines, which was used extensively by the Bush family, or the so-called Bush family. We know they're really the Scherfs, and by the recently discovered by me, the United States Lines. The United States Lines was owned partially by Kermit Roosevelt, the son of Teddy Roosevelt. Roosevelt was allowing spies to come into the country, and at one point, the company was shut down for having allowed two German spies into the United States. Those were some that got caught. Now, if you know who the spies are, and you know how to look at the passenger lists, you can come up with quite a few of these names flagrantly being used by their real names way back in the early 1900s, all the way up into, let's say, the 1930s, even the 1940s. Now, Ellis Island was shut down, I understand, around 1954 as an entry point for customs, although there were many other places they could sneak these people into the country. I suspect that that Walker's Point in Kennebunkport, Maine, was used to sneak people in because it was right on the Atlantic coast, and Nikola Tesla had built a wireless device that they could radio and signal when ships were coming in long before they were detected by anyone else near Boston or anywhere south down toward New York. And I'm certain that area was used to not just sneak people in, but arms, cash, and it was a two-way route, as well as drug shipments. Now, they use ships for the very same purposes today. They've been doing it for well over 100 years, and they're not about to stop unless we put a stop to it, unless we demand that it stops. We've got 10,000 ships that belong to the United States, and they're flying foreign flags to the tune of 9,800 of them. 200 of the ships belong to the United States, according to the flags. And this has come out pretty recently involving a merchant marine that's in hot water with the government for blowing the whistle on this very corrupt activity that's going on worldwide. And it's of course, contraband that we're talking about here, and stolen vehicles, cars that are bulletproofed, are on these ships. I mentioned drugs, cash, the stashes from the loot of wars like the Iraq War when they raid the central bank. They load these ships with virtually everything of value that they steal, and then they sequester it someplace in their little hideaways. Now, they do this with people. They've done it with people. I've tracked it. Other researchers have found the same thing. This is not an exaggeration. This is being done and has been done, and they're going to continue to do it unless we wake up to it. Now, in the specific cases of John McCain, and many people aren't interested in the politics. They're into the persona of an individual. They buy into all of this folklore stuff about, well, he's a war hero. He was a prisoner of war. When we know that there were people who were there in Vietnam with him when he was supposedly in solitary confinement, he was filmed going into restaurants with a Vietnamese general, leaving a limousine, being serviced by prostitutes. And hardly the hard luck story that history portrays. We can go back to George Bush's history, and I'm talking about senior, and we've seen the same corrupt activity, and many soldiers coming forward saying that the story about him being a war hero was a lie. He actually ejected from his airplane, leading his two co-pilots to their death, something you never do. In fact, the plane he was flying could have made a crash landing in the ocean and survived, but he chose to become a war hero, and it was fictitious, just like his father catching deflecting an incoming shell with a bolo knife. That story fell apart and it embarrassed his so-called family, but I can tell you again, if you read the article, you can read all about it. I exposed the whole thing from top to bottom, including the fraudulent names the family used, the fraudulent dates of their birth, the fraudulent residences, the whole nine yards about the whole family. And we have the same thing now with McCain. The historian that did a piece for the National Cemetery, and I'm talking about Arlington National Cemetery, and the life of John Sidney McCain Sr., which would be the grandfather of John McCain, who's running for president right now. I tracked him down coming into the United States at age 59 on a ship. And according to him, now this is, whether or not this is true is debatable, but he made the statement that he had been at sea on these merchant ships for 10 years. So he would have started at age 49. He is not from the United States. There is no record of him being from the United States, though they say he was born in Teoc, Mississippi. There is no proof of that. These are just claims that they make. And no one checks them out. No one digs the information up to the point to where you can expose that there has been a fraud. And one way you can do it is you can find them somewhere else at the time they supposedly are where they say they are. If you can prove that they were someone else or somewhere else before they were even born, then you can disprove their age. And if you can disprove their age, then you can disprove their birthplace. Most of the time. Now, it's very difficult to find where they were born, so you have to do research. You have to look through all kinds of records to find them. And inevitably, you will find them because they're so brazenly obnoxious and arrogant about the manner in which they do this that they leave a trail. They make mistakes. When I found that John McCain came into the United States on a ship, and he was on the crew of the ship. He wasn't a passenger. He was on the crew. I was shocked to find out he was 59 years old. When I saw his Navy pictures first, before finding out this information about him coming into the country, assuming he was an American, when I saw the 1945 pictures of him at age 61, I thought, that's not a man 61 years old. This man has to be at least 80 years old, maybe even older. So they were claiming basically that he was born in 1884. I found contradictions, even in the Social Security records, that he was born in 1874. Now that puts him 10 years closer to what I'm saying, but still doesn't make him old enough. He would have died in 1945 at age 71 if he was born in 1874, but he looks older, or he looked older than 71. I've seen plenty of 71-year-olds. I've seen plenty of 80-year-olds who have traveled on ships. And this thing about him being weathered, according to this historian that wrote the article for, actually wrote a book talking about McCain's life, And he even commented that he looked much older than his age. So this is not my imagination. This is not an illusion. When you find a document proving that he lived longer than that, it changes the whole outlook. But let's say that I'm wrong about that for a moment. Let's just imagine that I'm just fabricating a story, on the hope that I can incriminate this man somehow. Then let's look at his wife's information. And on the website, again, the same website, and this is the Arlington National Cemetery website, they list the dates of his wife's birth and her death. And they vary, not in the Wikipedia or any of the other biographical accounts, but on the tombstone itself. The very man who is least likely to make a mistake about the birth date and the death date would be the man that's cutting that stone, because he doesn't want to make a mistake and ruin a piece of marble or a piece of sandstone or whatever it is. It's a rather large gravestone too. And they just don't make those kinds of mistakes. They check and check again and double check and triple check until they're certain they have the right information. Now, that's the information they were given. Yet, his information, if it's true on the gravestone, all the other stories are a lie. And so why would someone make a mistake about a birth date? Why would someone hide the date of their birth? Or the place of their birth? Well, if you weren't born in America, you have a very good reason to hide where you were born, when you don't want someone to figure out what you're trying to do to their country. And that's exactly what's going on with this country today, is we have been infiltrated by spies. We have been infiltrated by people masquerading as someone else other than who they are. Now, McCain was born... John McCain was born in Coco Solo, Panama, at the Naval Air Force Base. He was not born on sovereign land, sovereign territory. They were leasing the base And I mean, if they lease something on the moon and he's born on the moon, he's not American. I'm sorry. We don't own the moon, and we don't own Panama, and we didn't then. So the law and the Constitution state that he is not qualified to run for president, period. If you don't like the law, you change it, but you do it legally. You don't do it behind closed doors. You don't do it like the way they gave our sovereignty away by making secret contracts with foreign entities from the day we're born into these bodies. I didn't make that agreement, and I'm sure none of my listeners did. Yet they have to keep that a secret. Why? Because someday that we're just going to bow down to the law? These people are not even human, let alone they're not Americans. Let's consider that for a moment. And if I sound upset, let me tell you, I have a short fuse today because of what I heard on the news yesterday. And that has to do with now Hillary Clinton's claiming that she's related to Brad Pitt and Madonna and Celine Dion. These people are on drugs big time. Big time they're on drugs. I don't know if they're snorting it or smoking it or shooting it up intravenously, but they are tripping on themselves. They're tripping on their egos. They're tripping on their imagination. They're psychopathic, literally. Next, she's going to say she's related to me and you. Oh, my goodness. I mean, it's ridiculous. And, you know, that's supposed to give her some credibility or some likability or marketability or legitimacy. Now, I went down the rabbit hole, and I'm not the first one. There's a man named Ed Klein that wrote a book about Hillary Clinton and discovered that she has a Russian step-grandfather. Okay, we're going to take a break a second, and I want you to listen to these words again, because this is what's going on in Hillary's clan, too. Both sides of the family, by the way.
Many, many years ago when I was 23, I was married to a widow who was pretty as could be. This widow had a grown-up daughter who had hair of red. My father fell in love with her, and soon they two were wed. This made my dad my son-in-law and changed my very life. For my daughter was my mother, 'cause she was my father's wife. To complicate the matter, even though it brought me joy, I soon became the father of a bouncing baby boy. My little baby then became a brother-in-law to Dad, and so became my uncle, though it made me very sad. For if he was my uncle, then that also made him brother to the widow's grown-up daughter, who of course was my stepmother. I'm my own grandpa. I'm my own grandpa. It sounds funny, I know, but it really is so. Oh, I'm my own grandpa. My father's wife then had a son who kept him on the run, and he became my grandchild because he was my daughter's son. My wife is now my mother's mother, and it makes me blue, because although she is my wife, she's my grandmother too. If my wife is my grandmother, then I am her grandchild, and every time I think of it, it nearly drives me wild.
This has got to be the strangest thing I ever saw.
As husband of my grandmother, I am my own grandpa. I'm my own grandpa. Everybody, I'm my own grandpa. It's so funny, I know, but it really is so. Hey, I'm my own grandpa.
Okay, I'm my own grandpa. All right, I thought it would be worth hearing again. That was an intense moment we had a couple of minutes ago. Still welcoming your calls, welcoming your comments. I know this sounds really off the hook, but I'm going to tell you, there's more that's off the hook than that. Going through the Rodham family, I find some inconsistencies made by Mrs. Clinton, made by her biographers, made by the Wikipedia author, whoever did her biography. And I would trust, since the article is locked, that probably she had something to do with the information there. I see it repeated as if a parrot is describing it on various websites. And it's It's not a copy of the Wikipedia article per se, but it's a copy of the information and the general statements in the article. And it'll say something to the effect of Hillary Clinton was born on such and such a date at Edgewater Hospital in Chicago. And then it goes on to describe her parents, and then it goes on to describe her grandparents. All her grandparents are from Britain, they're British and Welsh. She comes from a Welsh background, but then all of a sudden she's got this French background, and all of a sudden she's got this North American Indian background. And I'm wondering, is that Madonna or or Brad Pitt? It's just insanity. These people will grasp at any straw to present themselves as something other than what they are, and it's far from what they're describing themselves as. Now, the Bushes, who claim that they're related to British royalty, the only way they can be related to British royalty is if the Queen of England and her court are Nazis. That's the only way they can be related. And I have suspicions about that too. These people are masters at masquerading as someone else. And they've been doing it for hundreds of years, and they're doing it today. There's no reason for them to stop. They're power hungry, they're greedy, they're selfish, they're egotistical, and even psychopathic in all their activities. Everything. People that go around the planet murdering millions of people have a problem somewhere. And I think we have a problem when we allow it to happen. We become just as responsible by not speaking out about it, by not insisting that it stop, and taking action to make it stop. We just allow it to happen, and you know, as long as I've got my American Idol and my bag of potato chips, a couch and a beer, I'm fine. I got to go to work tomorrow. As they rob us blind, you can look at the economy and see what they're doing. And the very people I'm talking about play a role in the fraud. Permitting it to go on from their Senate seats, permitting it to go on from their relationships to people who have been in the presidency. I mean, we've had how many years of Bush, Clinton, Bush already, and they're trying to get Clinton back in there again. And if they put McCain in, they're putting Bush in. These people are all in bed together in more ways than one. Now, Hillary's roots have an interesting twist, and they happen, as in most of these other cases, because of the time period we are in today. We can go back to their grandparents or their great-grandparents, and we can find inconsistencies. Hillary's British and Welsh-born grandparents actually were not born there, if I'm to trust the documentation, that they were born in the United States. There's actually documentation that one of her grandparents was born in Aurora, Illinois, although I can't find any document to support that other than a death notice with the Mormon LDS Family Search database, which is a genealogical database. Specifically, when you're tracing her roots, you find a grandmother who's supposed to have been born in England or in one of the British Isles, born in Aurora, Illinois. And when you try to substantiate that any other way except they just make this claim, and they're always born on a farm outside of a big city, you know, where nobody can see where they are. You see, they sneak these people into the country by name, by paper, and they have no history there. What school are you going to check? You know, the dates that some of these people came into the country, we didn't have schools in these places. So you can't check to see where they went to school. Or they went to a school where their skull and bones buddies can easily add their name to a roster and get a few people to say, oh, yeah, I remember he was on the baseball team. He was good. They create these stories, and we just swallow them. without even chewing them up. Now, Della Murray, Hillary Clinton's paternal grandmother, married Hugh Rodham, and her son, Hugh Ellsworth Rodham, supposedly became Hillary's father. Hugh Rodham ended up getting a divorce in 1927 from Della Murray, and then Della Murray in 1933 marries a man named Max Rosenberg. Of course, they conveniently misspell Max Rosenberg's last name so that if you try to do a search on him, you can't find him. But if you change the U to an E at the end in the Berg, then you all of a sudden open up a whole list of possibilities as to who Max Rosenberg might be. Found it interesting that her husband, Max Rosenberg, just marries her and you never hear anything more about him the rest of his life. Except that there's a Max Rosenberg also in Hollywood with him who becomes a famous film producer. And he goes to England and carries out his career pretty much almost to the end of his life. Just after retiring does he return back to Hollywood. And I'm sure he made trips occasionally, but his career was in England. And isn't it funny that United Lines, or United States Lines, the shipping line, belonged to Kermit Roosevelt, and he was a good friend of Winston Churchill. So he hung around Winston Churchill quite a bit. I don't recall Winston Churchill hanging around the United States that much. By the way, Kermit Roosevelt himself committed suicide. He had a drinking and a drug problem. No small wonder when they're shipping alcohol and drugs on these ships. They're still doing it today. Of course, they're using airplanes today, too, and helicopters and that. But in fact, they used the body cavities of soldiers that are killed in wars to hide drugs. So this connection with England was kind of interesting. Now, there are pictures of the Clintons worshiping Satan in public. Upside-down crosses around Chelsea's neck. Upside-down stars on the U.S. flag. There's a picture at Rents.com. And the Osiris symbol on Bill Clinton's little tuxedo pin. These are satanic symbols, and oh, but, you know, she was born and baptized into a Methodist church. In fact, her father, who was born, and I'm using this with reservation, who was born in Scranton, Pennsylvania, lived in Chicago, but had to go back to Scranton to have the kids baptized in the same church. Yeah, right. What, the Church of Satan? And these people are masquerading as Christians, and you've got people blindly following them. After everything that happened with Monica Lewinsky and Paula Jones and all the other girlfriends that Billy Boy had while he was president, and all the charges of lesbianism against Hillary from Secret Service agents, mind you, these guys wouldn't just make that up. And lists of people that ended up dying, people that worked for them, that just ended up dying way before their time. Even people that didn't even know them died because they saw things they weren't supposed to see. And they got corrupt politicians and corrupt bankers and corrupt coroners to cover up their dirty deeds. Of course, corrupt attorneys as well, like themselves. They were attorneys too. Now, Max Rosenberg was from Russia, and they say 1901. Well, I looked to find a Max Rosenberg born in Russia in 1901 and couldn't find one. But I found an Alfred Rosenberg. Actually, they claim he was born in 1893. Let's presume that that's accurate. the shipping records I found of Alfred Rosenberg coming into the United States a bunch of times, not 5 or 10. I'm talking loads of times he came into the United States. Every week he was coming in on a ship. Who was Alfred Rosenberg? He was way up in the Nazi party. He was born in Latvia, near Russia, and he went to school in Moscow. He went to two schools in Russia, and he became an architect and I think an engineer. And when they were murdering thousands and thousands of people, even millions of people, before and during the war, they were exterminating not just Jews, they were exterminating Armenians and Ukrainians and people really from all over the what eventually became the Soviet bloc countries. They were murdering people by the thousands every week and stealing everything they owned. Alfred Rosenberg was in charge of that. And there were letters, published letters from an officer by the name of Kube, instructing him that he was going to have the German National Socialist painter and art expert come and restore all the paintings that had been damaged by knife slashes and other types of defacing. They were going to have these valuable paintings restored up in Moscow, and that he was to go there, Moscow or Leningrad, in fact, it was instructed. He was to go up there, Rosenberg, to make sure this got done, because they had stolen millions and millions of dollars worth of paintings and artifacts, books, musical instruments that weren't even returned to those countries until after the Berlin Wall fell. It's amazing. The amount of thievery, millions and millions of dollars worth of stolen loot. Now, you can call that the spoils of war, but all they did was exterminate people and steal their things. Rosenberg went to Germany, the story goes, in 1918. Hadn't come to the United States yet. I hadn't seen his name on any records yet, on any of the shipping records. What was interesting is he went to Germany with a friend and his mentor. His mentor's name was Max. His first name was Max. And so why not use the name Max Rosenberg? It's a good cover. It's a spy. They use aliases all the time. In fact, it made sense that it would be Alfred Rosenberg. And my intuition tells me that she, Hillary, was born in Minsk. She was not born here in the United States. I intuited that she had come through from Bermuda, that they were training her to speak English in Bermuda. And I found records that Della Murray, her so-called grandmother, was probably there in Bermuda too. She had come from Bermuda and entered New York several times. The records are there. Della Murray made trips where one time she was 33, another time she was 24, another time she was 17, just of all kinds of different ages. And sometimes she was American, and once she was German, and another time she was Irish. It was amazing how these people change their identities and where they're from. But this is part of the game. And you can tell who it is. When you become good at looking at, for these people and finding, you know what ships they travel on or what shipping companies they're associated with, or looking for names that appear on several lists, you can match them up pretty well. See, Della Murray may never have even been married to Hugh Rodham. That could all just be the fiction to get her into the family. I suspect she was a Nazi spy as well. And just taking on an Irish name and pretending she was Irish. And the only reason they admitted that Rosenberg was a Russian is probably because they couldn't cover it up. They got caught in a way. Now, Della married Alfred Rosenberg in 1933. By the way, I know this is very complicated, and this is a lot of facts and figures and stuff. I'm just pulling this from the top of my head right now to try to emphasize the point of how they do it and what they do. This can be looked at as coincidence, but the marriage took place in 1933, the same year that Hitler made Alfred Rosenberg the foreign minister of Germany, of Nazi Germany. And he did send him to England, too, which is where Max Rosenberg's career was. So do you suppose that his getting into the film industry first as a foreign film distributor might have had something to do with Europe? And do you suppose his whole career in England might have had something to do with the fact that he was a Nazi in disguise? Now, he made movies about Dracula and Frankenstein and mummies and aliens and even Satan himself. Those were the movies he made. And someone that does that, you can say, well, if they're that bent on creating all this evil in these movies, creating all this fear, then they may be someone else than who we really think they are. Oh, well, you know, that's to say that if Steven Spielberg makes a spooky movie, he's an evil person. That's not what I'm saying. Someone that makes every movie be so dark and so evil must somewhere inside themselves have some reflection of that energy. That's part of their makeup. And he made a lot of money from it, and I wonder where all that money went. I wonder who got that money. He left a wife and two daughters, which I found interesting. He is capable of making daughters if they are his daughters. His wife and his daughters had Russian names, and we're talking about Max Rosenberg, the movie personality. But the other Max Rosenberg just disappeared. Supposedly died in 1984, and then the film producer Max Rosenberg in 2004. Interesting that the dates end in four. One definitely died. The other one can't find a lick about where he was buried or who his parents were, what town he was born in, even a birth date. Now, there is a Canadian website that has some pretty interesting information. Maybe it's through Hillary's Celine Dion connection that they have that. Oh, these people. I guess I should say that, you know, because I played music with Sam and Dave, I'm related to Sam and Dave. They're my cousins. And I can think of a lot of other people. Probably Percy Sledge. He was my brother because I played in a band with him. The imagination And really, I mean, this is so ludicrous that it's bordering on insanity, that people even buy this stuff. So I'm pretty certain that I can prove on all fronts that Hillary Clinton is not who she says she is and wasn't born into the family she claimed she was born into. And it's the same, it's looking the same with Obama. Now, his father was born in Kenya. So everybody's got to be born somewhere. It's interesting that they come out and they tell you that he was born in Kenya, if that's true. And he ends up coming to the United States. Actually, he goes to Hawaii. I'm not clear on the date. They give us a date, and maybe the date is going to disqualify Obama. Maybe the fact that his mother is not American is going to disqualify him, too. I don't know that yet, but it's interesting that her yearbooks from the school she supposedly went to in Mercer Island, Washington, have been stolen from the school. So you can't see a picture of his mother when she was in school. If you could, you could compare it to the pictures in Hawaii, and I have a sneaking suspicion that the pictures aren't going to match, and that's why the books were stolen. Someone would find out. someone would find out, because they didn't count on us going back and looking at the genealogy. It's not just me that's looking at this. There were other genealogists, and I really don't even consider myself a genealogist of the average ilk, because I don't follow the methods that they use. In fact, genealogies are very deceptive, extremely deceptive, especially of politicians and government leaders, because they have other agendas in mind, and they're not who they say they are. Even the great Russian czars and the leaders of the Soviet Union, if you go into Gorbachev, he changed his name. Stalin changed his name. Lenin changed his name. All of these people took on different personas and changed their name because they didn't want to be identified with the ethnic group their name signified. You know, Stalin is like a word that means man of steel. Well, that was nothing like his real name. Gorbachev's name was something like Korbach. It was actually a German name. And we just go on day to day without paying any attention to this stuff. We're interested in, oh, Hillary's for health care, and Hillary's for the children. And if you saw what they do to children, you'd change your mind really fast. If you really looked at the fact that there's over 100,000 kids, it's probably over a million, really, but at minimum 100,000 kids every year are abducted and put into child slave rings across the world. And somebody's making money off of this. The auctions take place in places like Las Vegas and Lord knows where else. They probably do it in Washington, D.C., too. But we're oblivious to this. Obama's father got married in a tribal ceremony, and she went to England after having two children, ended up not divorcing Obama Sr., and then Obama Sr. goes to Hawaii and marries a schoolgirl. Just out of high school, he marries her, gets her pregnant, she has a baby, he leaves, he goes to Harvard, and takes on a third wife after going to Harvard. He returns to Kenya, she follows him there, and then he has two more kids with his first wife, who he never divorced. This is how we honor our country. Now, I'm not attacking Barack Obama's character because of what his father did. But the point is, we should be demanding information to know where these people are. Now, Obama's father was a Muslim and then became an atheist. And he's posing as a Christian. He lived in Indonesia for a long time. His mother's second marriage was to an oil person that was an Indonesian, and Barack lived there, Junior I'm talking about, and then the story is that he went to Hawaii because he wanted to study there in Hawaii. Again, an out-of-the-way place where nobody could see this going on. And the question is, was Hawaii yet a state then? We don't know. But we don't really look at these things, and we don't consider these things, but we have three people with very dubious backgrounds all the way across the board on both sides of the family. And we haven't found out for sure, but if Barack Obama was born in Kenya, he is not qualified to be a president. If Hillary Clinton was not born in the United States and was born in Minsk, Belarus, she's not qualified. And never should have been first lady. Bill Clinton's father is purported to be Winthrop Rockefeller. why isn't it that the backgrounds of these people's roots is not examined under a microscope? They can steal FBI records and target people. They can hide documents. They can destroy documents. They can murder people to get them out of the way. And we don't have the right to look at their backgrounds. Seems to be a dichotomy here, folks. Seems to be a contradiction. So, I think at this point, I'm going to lighten up the show before I sign off one more time. I think this deserves a listen. Let's think about all this, because this song says it all.
Many, many years ago when I was 23, I was married to a widow who was pretty as could be. This widow had a grown-up daughter who had hair of red. My father fell in love with her, and soon they two were wed. This made my dad my son-in-law and changed my very life. For my daughter was my mother, 'cause she was my father's wife. To complicate the matter, even though it brought me joy, I soon became the father of a bouncing baby boy. My little baby then became a brother-in-law to dad, and so became my uncle, though it made me very sad. For if he was my uncle, then that also made him brother to the widow's grown-up daughter, who of course was my stepmother. I'm my own grandpa. I'm my own grandpa. It's a funny, I know, but it really is so. Oh, I'm my own grandpa. My father's wife then had a son who kept him on the run, and he became my grandchild because he was my daughter's son. My wife is now my mother's mother, and it makes me blue, because although she is my wife, she's my grandmother too. If my wife is my grandmother, then I am her grandchild, and every time I think of it, it nearly drives me wild.
This has got to be the strangest thing I ever saw.
As husband of my grandmother, I am my own grandpa. I'm my own grandpa. Everybody! I'm my own grandpa. It's so funny, I know, but it really is so. Hey! I'm my own grandpa.
That kind of says the whole story, I think, folks. I'd like you to consider what I talked about tonight. Of course, I'm just trying to awaken folks and get them to really look at what's going on. As we watch our banks fall apart, we watch our country fall apart, what are we going to do about it? Now, I would prefer that we come up with spiritual solutions, but we've at least, on a conscious level, have to come to some awakening as to what's going on, so that we understand why we must change this paradigm, this matrix that they've created for us. These people don't deserve the honor and the prestige that they're so blindly given. They don't deserve it. And I pointed out many reasons why. Of course, you're welcome to do your own research. You really are. In fact, I insist that you do. If you want to disprove what I'm saying, by all means, go ahead. But I'm sure if you do the type of research that I've done, you'll come to some similar conclusions. By the way, I was able to compare a photograph of the 1946 version of Alfred Rosenberg and the near 2004 version of Max Rosenberg, and it looks like pretty accurate age regression. Similar glasses, in fact, they look like they're wearing the same set of glasses. Same type of frame. Both men are wearing white shirts and ties, which is kind of interesting because one is about to face his death or his so-called execution, which to me, it looked like it was staged. And we know Hitler faked his suicide. And many of the spies that they brought over, especially one privy to all of this wealth that had been stolen, they would spare him. It was interesting how the two men could look very, very similar. Very similar. Now, there's a big difference in age when you add about 60 years to someone's age. They look quite a bit older, but you can still compare many of the facial features, and they match. And the tip-off is the glasses, more than anything. Very, very rare to see something so stark and so coincidental. There are no coincidences. Special thanks to Seth and Don for getting the audio working tonight. And also, I'd like to thank everyone that's been sending in emails and calling, supporting this research and the stand that we took for Rick Stanley. That fight is not over yet, folks. It's just begun. In the meantime, you have been listening to Evident Footprints. I'm Don Nikoloff, and tomorrow my guest will be Tony Elizabeth Sarah Petrinovich, Ph.D., and we're going to be talking about angels and orbs, so don't miss that show. And I've got Ken Adachi on Wednesday, and filling up the schedule for the month of April, so tune in. In the meantime, peace, love, and light, and have a good night.